Gospel chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Jesus was led up by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as I said, this story, this passage connects directly to the previous one. In fact, Satan seems to have witnessed or have some familiarity with what just transpired or with what Jesus is wrestling with, perhaps. And so each time Jesus is tempted, he starts by saying, "If you are the Son of God." Last week, we shared how those words had to have been echoing in Jesus' mind and in his heart as he faces the wilderness, as he fasts for this prolonged, incredible, superhuman amount of time. He hears those words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Right? And in some versions, "Listen to him." Jesus has these words of the Father, "You are my beloved Son," ringing in his ears as he's in the wilderness. And so by the time Satan comes to him, maybe 40 days is a long time. Maybe he's begun to doubt. Maybe he's not sure. Maybe that's what I can latch on to, Satan thinks. And so he says, "If you are the Son of God, then certainly you have the power of creation itself in your fingers. You could touch that stone and make it bread. Boom, no more fast. You don't have to be hungry anymore." And Jesus makes it clear that's not why I'm here, right? If I wanted bread, I could get bread, right? I'm here to listen to the word of God, to every word that comes from the Father, right? He knows what that kind of word can do, the power it can hold. He is in the wilderness to prepare. And he's not done preparing, not just yet. And so Satan takes him to the pinnacle of the temple, and he quotes. He says, "Well, if you're about the Word of God, then let's talk about the Word of God," right? So he quotes a psalm that says, "He shall not allow you to even dash your foot against the stone," right? If it were written in 2025, he said, "He would not allow your toe to touch a single Lego in the middle of the night." Anybody been there? Okay, see some hands. All right. Deep pain, excruciating pain, right? So Satan is using the word of God now against Jesus and saying, "Okay, well, if you're the Son of God, then certainly this word that the psalmist wrote about the Messiah would apply to you," right? That the angels would lift you up. You wouldn't be harmed at all. And Jesus says, "It's also written, So he's once again bringing the word to the table. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. In other words, we're not here to play games with God. If I'm on the mission and the mission requires me to be preserved from harm, then I will be preserved from harm. But if it's outside the mission, what am I doing with such a game? Finally, the devil takes him to a very high mountain and with supernatural vision shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He says to him, "All these I will give to you if you will but fall down and worship me." This temptation always seemed kind of strange to me as a kid. It's like, well, first of all, who said all the kingdoms belong to Satan? Well, we could have a huge discussion on that, right? But also, why would Jesus ever do that, right? As a kid, I couldn't wrap my head around it. Why would Jesus even think about bowing down and worshiping Satan? It wasn't until I was older that I realized what Satan was offering to Jesus and why he might be tempted, right? Scripture is beautiful and it's wonderful, but we have to take our time with it sometimes. We have to really think about it, because looking at a Bible, right, chapter 4, the first half of chapter 4 is half a page. A half a page in a book of thousands of pages. And so if we just speed through it, we don't understand perhaps why Jesus is even tempted at all, because the next line after Satan says something, Jesus immediately responds with no, right? And so the first line, Satan says, "Turn these stones into bread." And Jesus says, "You shall not live by bread alone." It's like, well, if it was that easy, where's the temptation? Well, 40 days without food, right? Maybe Jesus had to stop and think about it for a minute. He's human, all right? So we maybe put a pause there and we think, okay, Jesus was legitimately tempted here. Second line, Jesus is at the pinnacle of the temple. And Satan says, "Well, you're all about the word of God. It's written in the word, he shall not allow you to fall. He shall not allow you to even dash your foot against the stone." Well, let's take a second and think about this. Maybe Jesus is legitimately tempted for a moment, right? He's here. He's already endured some things. Does he want to be sure that he is the Messiah, that God's got his back? Absolutely. He does. That's a temptation. This isn't just an immediate, get out of here, Satan, right? So we think about that for a moment. And he says, "No, that's not why I'm here. That's not God's job. We're done with this temptation." This third one, like I said, I didn't understand it as a kid. It wasn't until later as I began to study the Gospels more and I heard from smarter, wiser people than me. Satan is offering him the purpose of his mission, the end goal of the Messiah without the cross. He's saying, "You came to reclaim the kingdoms of the world from sin, from death, and from me. Well, if you want to get them from me, all you have to do is ask, right? Just bow down and worship me and ask for it, and I'll give it to you. You don't have to go through suffering. You don't have to go through the cross. You don't have to die." Right? Satan is offering Jesus a way around the way of the cross, a way to the goal of his mission without doing any of the hard work to get there. And so in that sense, Jesus might be tempted. Some authors have said that this same temptation is the one that comes back to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he asks God the Father, "May this cup be taken from me." But no, not my will, but your will be done. So in this moment, Jesus is offered the chance to claim the world, to claim all the souls of all these kingdoms without the suffering, without the pain, without the torment, without death, without collecting disciples and challenging Pharisees and walking on old sandals from town to town, proclaiming the kingdom of God, sometimes with some seeds planted and sometimes with out-and-out rejection and hatred thrown at them. You could have what you came to claim. But of course, the word of God stands. And Jesus says, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." There is no way but the way of the cross. The end goal and the mission to get there are one and the same. Jesus must proclaim the kingdom of God. He must gather the disciples. He must be with, serve, heal, and teach the people wherever he can. And he must hand the mission over to the disciples, to the apostles, after the cross, so that they could also take up their crosses and proclaim Jesus as Son of God and the forgiveness of sins that he brings. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. It's a harder path than the one that Satan offers him, but it is the only true path. Amen? We're talking this season about prayer, about the models of prayer that Jesus gives us. The model that Jesus gives us here is multifaceted. First, the model is to, as Miss Karina said, to concentrate, right? Jesus goes into the wilderness to eliminate all other voices, all other distractions. And so fasting is not a demonstration of willpower. It is not a diet. It's not a good habit. It is a way to listen better, to remove some of the ways and distractions of life, to focus in on God alone. And so if we're to fast like Jesus, we're to do simply that. Maybe that means cutting out a meal and taking the time that we would spend preparing and eating that meal in prayer and in study of Scripture. Maybe that means just ensuring that we're spending at least a few minutes a day, 1, 5, 10, 20 minutes a day in prayer and study. Maybe that means using the Lenten guide that you can find here and there and right out there by the little plastic trees, and praying with us and praying with Jesus. There's no way that we can withstand the temptations that are thrown at us by this world, by this opponent that we have called Satan, without the Word of God. Could be argued that there was no way Jesus could do it without the Word of God, because we hear the Word of God spoken to him and spoken over him immediately before this. And Satan challenges that three times, says, "If you are truly the Son of God, then you should do this," right? But all three of those "you should do this" lines are lies. And so, if we are to fast and pray like Jesus, we ought to concentrate on God. Last week, we talked about how we could be asking this question: God, how do you want to love me today? And how do you want me to love you today? If we are to fast and pray like Jesus, then we will have the ability, maybe ability is not the right word, we will have the Holy Spirit in us and be able to say no to the lies when those lies come, the lies that tempt us to think that maybe that Word of God isn't for us, that maybe we are not a beloved child of God, or maybe we could compromise the mission and the way of the cross for the sake of what we feel like we deserve, for the sake of what we feel like God should be giving us, or for the sake of avoiding the time and the cost and the pain that comes with following Jesus and taking up our crosses to be more like Him. Jesus begins this journey worshiping God, praying and giving thanks for 40 days, listening for God. It ends with Jesus saying, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve." So there is this connection, this adoration, this love that God extends to Jesus and that Jesus triumphantly extends back to the Father. And in doing so, the devil leaves him, and angels come and minister to Jesus' every need. We know that Lent has an end point, right? In fact, even today, every Sunday is a miniature Easter, a celebration not only of Jesus, of God's love, and how it comes down to us fully in the person of Jesus, but also that Jesus triumphs over Satan, triumphs over the lies, triumphs over death even. Your sermon cover is a medieval European artistic depiction of Mary wrestling with a demon, perhaps the devil, while baby Jesus watches and maybe even claps along, I don't know. I just love that image. It's been memed a few times over the last 10 years, kind of come back into popular knowledge. But just the idea of Mary saying, "Hold my baby while I go sort out this devil." Jesus knows a tempter when He sees one coming, at least partially by the example of His mother. We typically know temptations when we see them coming, not always, but by example of Jesus, by example of other loved ones who know the Lord and have shown us over the years, over time, we know that we do not wrestle with these devils alone. We also know that we do not have to lose to them. If you're like me, you've lost to temptation at least a few times, maybe today, maybe this week, certainly in your life. This story of Jesus resisting the temptations three times is both daunting in the sense that I don't know if I could say those same answers that Jesus says, but it's also encouraging because we know that Jesus has faced every temptation that we face and overcome them. Jesus has wrestled with the devil, even as we feel like sometimes we can do nothing but wrestle with our demons. But if Mary did it and Jesus did it, then we too can do it. We can rely on the Word of God. "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." We can rely on the Word of God. "You shall worship the Lord and serve Him alone." And most importantly, we need to lean hard on the Word of God that says, "You are my beloved child. In you I am well pleased." All the commandments, all the law, as powerful and important as they are, as life-giving as they can be like tissue paper without the gospel, without the grace of God poured out for you. And so when the commandments seem like too much, when the temptations start to creep in, rely first on the Word of God that is spoken to you and spoken for you. "You are my beloved child. In you I am well pleased." When you do that, you can fast and see the end of your fast. You can resist temptation and rest in the knowledge that you belong to God. And now is the time to go get the kids from children's time, bring them back up to the service. We're going to continue this season to look at how Jesus prayed and how that can be both a model and an inspiration and an invitation for us. It's an opportunity for us not only to fast like Jesus, but to make time, secret time as it were. That's such a funny word and it pops up so many times in the Gospels. We're going to be exploring that next Sunday. what it means to pray in secret. This prayer time today struck me that we have grief very near to us, and yet we also have joy. And so we're going to be looking at examples of Jesus praying in joy and in grief. And we're going to look at the ways that Jesus continues to defy temptation through prayer, not just with this moment of temptation in the wilderness after fasting, but in defiance of all the models and structures of power and evil in this world that continue to bring injustice, and how we can both pray with Jesus, pray like Jesus, and also pray as we long and work to see sin and injustice defeated in this world. So, would you please pray with me? Dear Jesus, we want to pray with you. We want to fast with you and resist temptation the way you did in the Gospels. May your word continue to speak. May we hear that because of you, Jesus, we are your brothers and sisters. We are God's beloved children. May we face down temptation with those words in our hearts. May we wrestle with the demons in our life and overcome them by you, Jesus, by your word. So God, I pray that each and every one of us could leave this place today encouraged and strengthened, ready to face what this world can throw at us, never compromising our identity as children of God, and never compromising our mission, which is the way of God, the way of the cross that you have given to us, Jesus. Amen. Please